You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there, Steeler fans. Welcome to Behind the Steel Curtain, Pittsburgh Steeler Power Half Hour on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. I'm Chris Pugh. I got Paul Yanchek and Joe Frost with me. We're Ohio guys. I like to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. How are you guys doing today?
Fine and dandy.
We're doing all right. Okay. We're recording a little bit earlier this week than we normally do, and people are listening to this on Saturday, but we're having that Monday hangover after a disappointing outing last night. So we're doing well. And by Saturday, we will have recovered emotionally a little bit better. But, you know, still trying to process everything that happened on Sunday night.
Well, they just didn't have their horses. I mean, you know, I hate it every time the Steelers lose. But, you know, no TJ, no Minka. Had a lot of guys. They kept checking the roster. Who is number 21? Who is 50? And, you know, you didn't know who those guys were. So it happens. Paul, any thoughts about
and you have a the loss? You have
a... Huh?
He said, Paul, your thoughts about last night?
Yeah.
I missed the question. Yeah, it was... I was enjoying watching us try to salvage that one. I don't like that we pulled the Raven strategy and tried to bail ourselves out there in the last 10 minutes. Got lucky with Cam's big noggin. Still less to worry about, but would have been nice to get that one.
I think what made the difference is having all of those holes in the defense that really allowed so many big plays by the Chargers. Especially that one right at the very end, you know, that blown route really was something that would have been covered by Minka if he'd been in. And right. So I think it would have been a very different game if we'd had a full defensive complement. But I was encouraged the fact that we actually were able to put up that number, that high of a point total by the end of the game. We've played so many games earlier this season where it's been low scoring games. So it's knowing that the offense can actually put it together and score when they need to, even if they're capitalizing off of special teams, even if that's why they're getting it, they're actually putting points on the board. And that's a solid thing.
And Devin and Bush played, so we were effectively playing with a 10-man defense. And...
Right. I mean, that's you got to count that, factor that in. I mean, we got Devin Bush who's just touching people. He thinks it's touch football, and it would be great if he tackled people.
And Paul was doing his impression of the great Akira Witherspoon, who every time he's played for the Steelers, gets routinely burned. And so Paul was reacting like Akira Witherspoon reacts when a receiver runs right by him to get a big game. You know, so, yeah, you know, Paul's... Paul's doing a good impression there.
I'm a grumpy Yinzer.
Yes.
It's
a tough day.
That's you're saying the same thing. That's redundant.
Yes. Well, let's get through it, because how can we better unite Steeler Nation than by viciously making fun of the cities, the teams, and everything about the place that we play next? And next week, Steeler fans, we're headed down to Cincinnati. The Queen City to take on the Bengals. Yeah. They've lost the Bengals earlier this year. And a game that I'm still just grumpy about was they lost last year when the Bengals had, I think, Ryan Finley as their quarterback. And the Bengals beat the Steelers late in the year in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football game. We'll talk at the end of the show of why we think the Steelers will win this week. But first of all, let's just start ripping Cincinnati as a whole. We had five reasons earlier this year. Talked about everything from Icky Woods to Ocho Cinco, the fact the team's cheap, the fact the team doesn't win in the playoffs, the fact that Skyline Chili is the worst food ever invented in the history of the planet. Eating dog poo is probably better than eating Skyline what? Chili. Hey, we got.
I don't know about that.
We got to make sure all comments
on that one. That's yeah. That's not something I've personally tried out, so I can't really compare the two of them. So I'll leave that to you.
I'm entitled to one Vince Lombardi is a sad little man type comment. I'm using my chip right away.
You use your chip on Skyline Chili?
Yeah. 4:43 into the podcast. We're good to go.
Well, boom.
Let's first start this out. And you know what? In our pre-show meeting, Joe said, what the heck is this? Which plays right into the fact why this is one of the things I dislike about Cincinnati. Cincinnati, down here in Cincinnati, they have some probably top 20 college basketball teams, the Cincinnati Bearcats and the Xavier Musketeers. Now, hey, they're two Division I programs. They're both in Cincinnati. What a nice little local rivalry. But that's all they talk about down here. I mean, to Cincinnati people, Cincinnati Xavier basketball is bigger than Ohio State, Michigan, USC, UCLA, I don't know, the North and the South and the Civil War, you know, God and Satan and faith. I mean, you know, they put a lot of stock into this rivalry, but it's overhyped. I mean, you know, if you're in Cincinnati, great. It's like a nice little local rivalry. You know, remember when we were in high school, you know, we had these rivals that we had. It's like a little nice little local high school rivalry, teams playing each other, but it's really not that big of a deal. And like I said earlier, Joe hit the nail on the head. He's like, what is a Cincinnati Xavier? And I agree. It's not a big rivalry at all. That's Cincinnati's best rivalry.
It would be like claiming that Fairview High School versus Rocky River High School mattered to anybody except for the people who were at those two schools. It just doesn't matter at all. But that season where we did go with only one win, that one win was their homecoming game. And so that was the greatest win that we could walk away with for the season, really. But it really doesn't matter to anybody else, and we definitely sucked.
Yeah, I'm not folding anybody that goes to Cincinnati or Xavier. I mean, hey, they're nice little schools. It's a nice little rivalry, but it's a nice little rivalry. I don't know if you caught last weekend, ESPN College Game Day was at Ohio State doing their little pregame before the Buckeye game, and they had 21 Pilots. Tyler Joseph, the lead singer of 21 Pilots, they're a Columbus band. It was funny. They're asking him about Cincinnati. He's like, oh, they're like our little brothers. Yeah, and yes, Cincinnati is like the little brother for the rest of Ohio. I've heard them described as the Kentucky Bengals. It's true. I mean, they're it's a nice little town. Yeah, it's a nice little town, nice little rivalry, but it's one of those things that just doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Like the foot fungus on the toe of Ohio.
Hmm.
That was Paul Janczyk, in case certain people hear this podcast. But very good.
In case you want to at Paul Janczyk.
Yes, at Paul Janczyk. No, it's all good. It's all good.
It really wasn't me.
Right.
I consider it would have to be fungus between toes, not just at the bottom of it, because I think most of the time at the bottom of the toe, it just scrapes off onto your sock or whatever. But between the toes is really the insidious toe fungus. Paul, you did not know that when we got up today that we were going to be talking about toe fungus.
Yeah,
but we did come on to start talking about Cincinnati, so I figured at some point toe fungus is going to come into this.
Definitely. Paul, Joe describes Cincinnati Xavier as a nice little high school rivalry. Any other thoughts on Cincinnati Xavier, that college pseudo matchup?
It's kind of like, you know, spending my whole life in Northeast Ohio, I like Pitt because it's Pittsburgh. I like Penn State because I hate Ohio State. And then I moved to Pittsburgh and find out, oh, no, you can't like both. This is a big rivalry. It's like, well, that's news to the rest of the world, I think. If you're not in Southwest Ohio, I don't think you care about Xavier v. Cincy at all.
Yeah,
I'm down here in Mississippi, and we get a lot of rivalry between Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I don't know if anybody else cares as much about it as people here do, but it's the Egg Bowl. They fight over an egg.
And you know, basketball's a nice sport. I'm not going to sit here and start ripping on basketball. But when you look at college sports.
But here it comes. Here comes basketball. It's your turn. Basketball is horrible. I don't know where we're going. I didn't know where you were going, but that's where I felt like we were going.
Okay, well, let's say for what it's worth. Nobody knows about basketball in November, December, January, February. In March, you start to pay attention when the the conference tournaments start happening. In March, and I'm putting up my air quotes right here, we pretend to pay attention during March Madness, but we pay attention because people are gambling money. Nobody knows about any of these teams. They're doing research I think 4
especially is better than 13. College basketball? Are you talking about especially college basketball? I mean, I think the same is true of professional basketball, too. And I like watching.
Right, definitely.
I like watching basketball in the spring, but there are professional basketball teams that I don't know exist because they don't make the playoffs. So, like, you're like, oh,
well, and quite simply, you know, Xavier does not have a football team.
There's the basketball team that's in Tampa or whatever. Like, I don't know. Right. There might be. I have no idea. If they don't make the playoffs and haven't for a long time, who even are they? The same is true of college basketball teams. If they're not in March Madness at all, I have no idea who they are. And whoever goes out in the first round, I usually don't know who they are either because I'm not paying attention soon enough to care.
Well, let me say this. I'm going to get in trouble for this because I'm a hot journalist. But Mississippi State Egg Bowl matters a billion times more than a Cincinnati Xavier basketball series because we don't give a care about basketball overall. I mean, unless you're on that Cincinnati campus or Xavier campus, or you're living in Cincinnati, we don't care about college basketball until we get to March.
Yeah,
but college football is at the stratosphere, like the NFL is, and like the NBA isn't, where Egg Bowl matters. It's a humongous deal. So
it's at least
I don't want to get any more tweet thing. You guys spent 13 minutes on a topic, so let's move on.
So we're cutting it at 11. suckers.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, Paul, we'll start with you because you live in the Pittsburgh area now. You look like an amusement park guy. I don't know. I'm just talking a wild assumption there.
You look like an amusing person.
Yes, a person enjoys the amusement park. Kennywood. Are you a Kennywood guy?
I've gone a couple times. I think if you're from Pittsburgh, that's like Geauga Lake if you were from Cleveland. If you're not from Pittsburgh, I wouldn't necessarily go out of my way to come to Kennywood. Half the rides are always shut down for one reason or another. But yeah, 2019, they opened up Steel Curtain Lake, ride. Baby.
Yeah, we're going to lose our Kennywood endorsement now, but or a big sponsorship deal. But Well, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, a couple years ago, Kennywood opens up the Steel Curtain roller coaster. Now, let's be honest. We're being transparent, even though we're on a silly show. It's a marketing ploy. It looks good if you could say, hey, Steel Curtain roller coaster, Steeler fans will come, ride the roller coaster and everything else.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah, the Steel Curtain is a marketing ploy. I'm not going to sit here and say it's anything else. But, you know, in Cincinnati, they have Kings Island. They can't even do a marketing ploy to have a Bengals roller coaster there because Steelers matter. Steeler fans matter. Steeler fans would ride a goofy roller coaster that has the Steel Curtain name on it. I think Kings Island is probably wise. They probably, the Bengals roller coaster will probably collect dust. Who wants to ride a Cincinnati Bengals roller coaster?
I would imagine that a Bengals roller coaster would go along pretty well during the regular part of the ride, but once it reaches the end, the whole thing just sort of falls apart and the whole thing just sort of falls off cliff and land at the end. It doesn't have an, it doesn't loop all the way around is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just not structurally safe. It's not sound. It's not good.
It's not just like one of the old wooden roller coasters. It's not like one of those where it feels a little unsafe, but it's actually fine. And that's part of the charm. It's just an unsafe ride. It's a little
Yeah, sticky. No, I agree. Any other thoughts on the Steelers roller coaster, Joe or Paul?
I think for Pittsburgh, I think it shows just how deep of a football town this is. I mean, there could be a Steelers brand avocado and suddenly Yinzer Nation's all into avocado toast. Yeah. So
Yinz into Steeler toast? That's what Steeler they call toast. It. It's Steeler toast now. It's not avocado Stiller. Toast. Steeler toast.
Yeah,
I tried. I'll have it.
All right. Well, we need to go to a commercial break, but stay tuned for the second part of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com's Pittsburgh Steeler Power Half Hour. We got more reasons why we dislike Cincinnati. Stay tuned, Brian. Steeler fans, welcome back to the second part of the Pittsburgh Steeler Power Half Hour on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. I'm Chris Pugh. We're from Ohio. Got Joe Frost and Paul Yanchek. How you guys doing? You guys still doing okay?
We're still here. Ready for these next 3 points.
Yeah. Paul had that look of whatever defensive lineman or whatever defensive player for the Steelers we can make fun of. Was it Derek Tusker, the linebacker?
Oh, man.
I'm thinking about Trey Norwood. The look of a Trey Norwood he seemed overwhelmed at times last night during the game. I don't know, I'm just poking fun at some of the Steelers. It'll be okay. Hey, last night was a bad night. You know, better things are to come. We got a big game coming up on Sunday against the Bengals. And again, we're trying to unify us by coming up with lots of reasons why we dislike Cincinnati and why we think Pittsburgh's a lot better. Guys, we're getting into our middle age. We're getting older. I'm feeling it. We got young people around. Have you guys ever been called boomer? Like you said something old fashioned and these kids are like, hey, boomer, why are you talking about this?
No.
Only facetiously.
I hear
boomer. I've only had it happen where they were just being
maybe my kids,
dumb and they knew that. Yeah.
Okay.
By these young whippersnapper kids. Yeah. They were just doing it as a joke, but
I think it's a humble brag because I hear boomer called to me about 40 times a day, but maybe I'm just old fashioned. I don't know. But you know, it's interesting.
They want to do away with Halloween, that's why.
Oh yes, yes. Check out
the Ohio anything fun
for Paul, Joe, and I talk about lots of pop culture things, and I just say ridiculous things. That's what I do. But you know, getting back to boomers, you know, I kind of wonder what's a more trendy city or the city where there's less boomers living in. And you know where the first boomer I heard of came from? Cincinnati, the great boomer of Sison. That guy always frustrated me. Why is it with Cincinnati and these crazy names? I can't believe they, Mr. and Mrs. Esiason named their kid Boomer as they were born. I'm sure it was some crazy nickname. But what's with Cincinnati picking up, you know, Boomer and Icky and all these other guys? And these are the names they want to go by. It's just not this Ocho Cinco that Chad Johnson picked up. What's with Cincinnati?
We didn't have Yancey Big Time, remember?
But
Yancey's his actual name, right?
It was cool. It was
yeah. Like,
Boomer Esiason is Norman Julius Esiason.
Norman Julius.
I'd go with Boomer comes out of that. Norman Julius.
Yeah, I would go with Boomer either.
But. I would go with Boomer too if my name was Norman Julius. The football player nickname that has become like a television personality, the one that I kind of can't get over would have to be Booger McFarland. I just can't get with a grown man who's trying to be taken seriously on national television and whose name is Booger. It strikes me odd every single time, and I want to have more respect for the guy than somebody named Booger. And Anthony Durrell McFarland is a perfectly fine name, but he played us under the nickname Booger, and that's okay.
He was great in Revenge of the Nerds, though. That was not him.
That was, that was a different. Yes, it was a different Booger. There were multiple Booger out there. Booger.
Well, if you think about it,
if it were Latin.
Well, here in broadcasting land, we want to think of like transitions, you know. So, like, you know, the hosts would come on and make their point and say, "Okay, we're going to go to Booger." Now, hey Booger, right. You know, how are you?
Yeah, or, it's like, you know, hey, this very serious issue happening in sports today. What do you think about it, Booger?
Or you know,
I just can't do it. I
don't mean to pick at you, Booger, you know?
No, that's a transition that should never happen. But Boomer is a
hey, Booger,
name,
you gained a little weight.
No weirder,
you're a bigger
than being
Booger than
Norman
you were before,
Julius.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder what Boomer. Sison's doing now.
He's doing CBS. Absolutely.
Is he broadcasting?
CBS. Okay. Yeah. Every Sunday. Do you not watch CBS?
He does his daily sports update on the radio.
Oh, he does? I didn't know that.
Yeah, like a little thought of the day kind of thing.
He only has to think one thing a day.
I think CBS kind of turns older.
Job. I got to have that job. I have one thought per day. And like do that at like 7:30 and be like, whoo. I am done.
I'm
Boomer
spent.
Taking the rest of the day off, baby.
Right. Well, Boomer gets tired early. He eats his lunch. Supper's at like 4 p.m., you know.
I like get up and golf and then think of the thing and then go and say it into a radio microphone and then just go home. It's great.
Boomer has no takes life. More current than like 1950 in football. You know, it's always this, you know. You know, Chip Thorpe references and stuff. Nothing you're like, come on, Boomer. Talk about something more current.
Nothing else to do in Cincinnati, I guess. You spend the rest of your day eating Skyline chili, which tastes like dog poop.
I just.
Not the rest of the day. So the rest of the day is reserved for something else. That's...
Yes, yes.
After the Skyline.
Very much so. Let's talk about this. I feel awkward saying this. I mean,
you feel awkward saying this? We just got off a conversation.
Well, I won't be transparent. I hate Johnny Bench. Johnny Bench is a nice guy. I don't want to make fun of Johnny Bench. But did you guys watch the Baseball Bunch growing up?
Yep.
You watched it? I don't think I really watched it.
Okay.
I don't have that clear memory of it. I wasn't a big sports person when I was little.
Well, there's a ton of old episodes of Baseball Bunch. And the weird thing about the Baseball Bunch, it was nice. They worked with kids. That was good. I got to see Johnny Bench at like an old-timers game a couple years ago. And that was fun. It was nice seeing him, you know, walk the plate, watch him try to hit and everything. That was all good. But during the Baseball Bunch, it frustrated me because all of the players had to come out on their uniforms. So then we meet these kids at Little League Field. Johnny Bench would say, hey, here's how you throw it to second. And they'll throw a ball to second. And then they'll do some batting practice. They'll work with them on tips. They'll show some baseball highlights. That's the show. But it seems so weird. You're a host. You don't need to come in on your Cincinnati Reds uniform. It just looked very strange. I don't know.
It was a show for kids. Why can't kids see them in street clothes? So like, who's that guy?
Yeah, I want them in street clothes. I want them like,
you know, it's so strange because you watch like a khakis. You watch baseball players. They're wearing the hat. They're wearing the uniform all the time. And then you see them in other clothes. You're like, I don't know who that is. Who the heck is that guy? Why is he wearing a polo shirt? Why is he wearing a suit? That's not a guy. He does not play baseball. I only recognize him if he wears the hat. Even if they wear suits, they still got to wear the hat.
Yeah.
It's like the Superman curl in hair.
Yeah. Well, I saw a couple minutes of like an old show, and they had Dusty Baker on. And Dusty Baker came out in his LA Dodgers jersey. It just looked weird. I don't know. I'm nothing against Johnny Bench.
Swimsuit competition? Like, what do you?
No, khakis. No, like khakis. Dress shirt or something. I don't know.
You want him to come out see and look like a manager of a Subways? That's what you want him to look like?
It's strange, you know?
The polo shirt would at least have to have the logo of the name of the team that he's associated with, though. Because that helps.
I guess it's just weird watching him.
Multiple times a week as a kid, we would go to the Indian Stadium, the seventh inning. They'd let us go sit wherever. We'd go outside for autographs. The players knew who we were because we were always there. We had the 5x7 pictures of the players. But if a player walked out, no hat on, initially we're like, isn't that? Stupid kids.
Kids are dumb. They need to have all of the signs.
If they can't figure it out,
they can get to say, this is a professional baseball player. They could come out wearing a sign that says, I am a professional baseball player and my name is Johnny Bench. They need something. Yeah.
And Johnny Bench is recognized, but I don't know. I'm sure it's probably conceived as weird, and we might get canceled because I'm making fun of the Baseball Bunch. I'm not. It was a great show. Here's why I don't like baseball. You've got old dudes managing baseball teams, and they're running around in their jerseys and everything. Could you imagine if, like, Mike Tomlin for the Steelers had to wear a Steelers jersey and a helmet as he was coaching? I mean, there used to be a big discussion on, what should NFL coaches wear? Should they wear a three-piece suit? Or should they wear a sweatshirt like, you know, Bill Belichick does? Well, at least they're not wearing a uniform like baseball does. I don't know. It's just it's a
soccer manager if you get some shrivelly old guy in his soccer shorts.
Yeah, just wear khaki.
Is something to be said for wearing something that people would recognize you in. You know, like if we watch Bill Belichick in his, you know, Patriots gear, the sweatshirts or the jacket or the stocking cap or whatever it is that he's wearing. But then if he shows up somewhere else wearing, I don't know, coveralls, like he would change your oil, then you'd be like, who is that guy who's wearing coveralls like he's changing oil? That's Bill Belichick? Like, I don't know why he's wearing that. Yeah, he should be wearing the thing that I would recognize him wearing. Be helpful for the kids, for Pete's sake.
Okay, so should you wear that throughout his whole life? I mean, what happens when
if
Johnny
he's
going
go
to
go somewhere and be recognized for being a professional baseball player, then he should probably be wearing something baseball related. I don't know. That's just helpful. Okay. If you want Steve Jobs to show up and speak at your business as like a motivational speaker or whatever, if he shows up in Bermuda shorts and a Hawaiian shirt, you're like, what? That's not who Steve Jobs is. He's got to come in the black turtleneck. Otherwise, who even is this guy?
Yeah, but at least that's normal wear. It's not like you're wearing a big baseball jersey. I don't know. It's tough. I'm probably going to get tweets and letters. How dare you spend 8 minutes talking about Johnny Bench? I don't know.
I think if they didn't like us talking about Johnny Bench, they're about to get even more outraged.
Right, and here we go.
Bring it
Pete
on.
Pete Rose, okay? Look, I am 46. I think Pete Rose played until I was like 9 or 10. And so I saw old wearing down Pete Rose. That's when he started to battle in games as a manager. You know, the old lovable Pete Rose that, you know, defamed himself and everything else. Pete Rose is Cincinnati's best athlete, okay, ever. Let's look at Pittsburgh's best athletes. I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day. Mario Lemieux, maybe, you know, with the Penguins. Roberto Clemente, I mean, he died way too young, but what athlete. These guys, I mean, you know, Clemente died as a hero. Mario Lemieux saved the Penguins. You look at Steelers, you know, probably the guy with the most checker pass maybe was Terry Bradshaw. But although he's a goofy, silly guy, he's still announcing. He's still in the Hall of Fame, everything else. So we've got these respected leaders, leaders of men, men with, you know, good reputations. Cincinnati, your best athlete of all time is kicked out of his own sport for gambling on your own team. He's a character for himself. I saw a TV show with him. He has like a storefront in Vegas. And he was signing autographs and he would just sit there. Hey, you want to come meet me? Pay me $20 for an autograph. Cincinnati, this is your best athlete of all time, and he's at a Vegas storefront. What's up with that? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and judge Pete Rose for what he did or didn't do, but since then, but there's your beacon. There's your legend. Look at him now, you know? I mean, it's crazy. What are your thoughts on Pete Rose in general?
Go for it, Joe.
Oh, I get to go first on this one.
We'll right. Share your Twitter feed. So
well, it's people just, know who to tag. Yeah, there you go. I don't know. It's difficult. There's greatness in Pete Rose and the way that he played the game to start his career. He made some pretty serious bad decisions and bad judgment toward the end. And who knows really how long that was going on. It really is a defamation of his entire sport. So, I don't know. It's hard to judge an entire town just by one dude's really, really terrible mistake, especially if he was an all-time great who definitely belongs in a Hall of Fame, just because I don't necessarily feel like a Hall of Fame needs to be a cleaned-up version of what it was that happened. I do believe in it being a historical record and to say, this is a guy who did that, and this is a guy who then did this at the end. And so that's why we're not really that comfortable with, you know, who he was as a whole player, his entire career. But I don't believe that he should be kept out of the Hall of Fame. It's what happened. It's the same with the guys with the performance-enhancing drugs. We can't really know exactly when it started or how many home runs it contributed to or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's a part of the history of what happened in the game during that period. And I think you just put it, make a room that's specifically for that. But it's what happened. So as far as being a caricature of himself, I think there are players who did not end their careers in disgrace who are still caricatures of themselves, hawking $20 autographs and, hey, you want to come by and meet me? Like that whole thing is a little bit sketch anyway. But yeah, it's difficult to then, you know, have that be the representative of your whole town. If you live there now, it was not your choice that Pete Rose was the greatest player that ever came through your city. It's a shame.
I mean,
and Paul, let me ask
hit totals aside, I mean, they did have Frank Robinson for a while. So I don't
for
know
a if while.
I called Pete Rose the...
for a while, you know, I still think probably in the totality of his career, Pete Rose is tied more tightly to Cincinnati years.
Oh, sure.
And to me, there's no question when you look at, if you want to compare Pittsburgh sports icons or Pittsburgh sports history, Pittsburgh to Cincinnati, Pittsburgh beats up on Cincinnati. You know, more professional teams that have won more titles overall and just consistency. And again, your legends, look at the reputation. The legacies your legends leave compared to what happened since then. You know, I know we're a Steelers podcast, we're supposed to say icky stuff like that, but it's true. You know, very true. All right, let's close up this. Let's look at Sunday's game. A little bit nervous. I'm not sure. And again, remember, we're taping this on Monday. As of Monday morning, the injury report doesn't look good. I still think the Steelers can pull out this game. what Cincinnati Bengals team are going to show up? I saw the end of their game yesterday, and they beat up on a decent Raiders team. But this same team a couple weeks ago got destroyed by a really crappy Browns team. And the Bengals have not looked good at other times. So, you know, Pittsburgh's got to play mistake-free football on offense. And let's get some of these guys healthy on defense. And I think we got a shot of winning. Paul, why do you think Pittsburgh could win on Sunday?
Well, first of all, partly because the AFC is just in total chaos. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Anybody can beat anybody, I think. And I think we all had, or at least I had, the Steelers splitting the season with the Bengals. So since we already lost, I think that means we're bound to win. So there's my deep analysis perspective. We already lost.
Because you picked it, this is what will happen.
Although I picked them to win earlier and lose later, but we'll flip that and we'll lose early, win late.
Yeah, I still think we've got this narrative in our head that the upcoming schedule is so daunting that we're terrified about what they're going to have to face coming up. And I think it still isn't the daunting, you know, the daunting prospect that we think it is, because the AFC is in chaos. Anybody is beating anybody from week to week. Everything is much more up in the air. And frankly, I love it. This is the way that it should be. I am bored to death of watching Tom Brady beat up everybody. I am bored to death of watching Patrick Mahomes beat up everybody. This is football. This is watching a game. This is 1,000 times more fun. Every week going into the game, you don't know what's going to happen. Anything can happen. Circumstances beyond everybody control can happen. Somebody can wind up with COVID. Somebody could get an injury or have some off-field nonsense that causes difficulty of being able to participate. You get on the field, somebody's getting hurt in the first play. And there's just constant adjustments that have to be made. That's, while it's nerve-wracking, I'm far more entertained this season than I have been in previous years. This is a lot more fun.
You know what the result of that's going to be? We're going to get a Brady Belichick Super Bowl out of it.
Well, we'll see about that. There's still football to be played. I'm just saying. And if that happens, then I actually feel like they deserve it instead of a steady stream march of inevitability up the hill that nobody can stop them. That's just boring. I don't want to watch it. If that was going to keep happening, I was going to be done with watching football on a regular basis because I just can't take it anymore. It's such a sleeper. But we're talking about this specific game. I feel like this game is must win, partially because they dropped to Cincinnati earlier, but in terms of trying to keep the in-conference, in-division record up, they need this win. If this all gets so much harder if they can't keep the in-division record up. So I feel must win. So I think there's going to be a mentality and a playing the game that way, which I'm excited for. I think there's deficiencies on the defensive side. There's no way we're getting everybody back in time to be able to contribute the way that we would need them for how we were winning earlier this season. So I think we're going to have to find a new way of doing it. I like the fact that with Claypool back in and Johnson catching the ball more consistently, that the downfield is a little more wide open now, which again, if it can be combined with a consistent run, opens up a lot of possibilities. So I really want to see that consistent downfield pressure open up more things for Najee, as long as he's not getting concussions and not having the flags thrown about it. If they actually throw a flag for, you know, illegal activity, that'd be dope. So with all of that stuff happening on the offensive side, I'm excited that we're going to be able to score enough points to keep up with Cincinnati. I'm a little nervous about what's happening on the defense right now, but now that has overtaken the concerns I've had about the offensive line. The offensive line is holding and doing what it needs to do in order for downfield action and the run. So I'm praying that the holes in the defense, we find a way of blocking some of those up.
Yeah, like you guys have said, I mean, some team in the AFC needs to get hot. I think right now New England's probably the hottest team in the AFC. I'm not sure if they're going to keep that up for a whole season with a rookie quarterback. But, you know, it could even be a team you don't expect, like Cincinnati, or I hate to say it, maybe even Cleveland, if they can get their ship in order. I mean, it's going to take some team to get hot in the AFC. And I think it could even be Pittsburgh. Seriously, to get healthy. And like Joe said, I'm not sure if the health's going to completely get there, but it's a wide open season right now. Your top team in the AFC.
I don't know about the health this week. I think the health overall in weeks to come, I think will get better, right. But I'm not sure if we're going to be there for at this point when you're listening to us tomorrow.
Right. And I think the other hard thing is like right now they're just a step outside of the playoffs, and you know, Joe's right. It becomes a big must win, because if you don't start winning, that razor thin margin that there is right now from the Steelers in the playoffs could get a lot broader if you can't right the ship and get winning. So, and this is a winnable game. I know the history recently against the Bengals haven't been promising, but yeah, I got faith. We'll see what happens. Thank you for checking our show. We appreciate the kind words that we've received, the promotion that we've received from other Behind the Steel Curtain podcasters. We need your help. If you like what we're doing, share us with your friends. If you're like, my goodness, this sucks, share us anyway. We want to hear from you. And thanks for checking us out, the behindthesteelcurtain.com's Pittsburgh Steeler Power Half Hour. We'll be back on next week as the Steelers. Who do the Steelers have next after Cincinnati?
We have Ravens.
Yeah.
Oh, Ravens, right? Baltimore?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots to say about Baltimore. My goodness, we have a 10-hour show. There's lots of icky things about Baltimore and the Ravens that we could talk about. Hey, and also, too, check out, if you like hearing me, Joe, and Paul be goofy, check out our podcast on the Ohioan. We kind of delve a little bit more into pop culture stuff, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So check it out. All right. Well, thanks for checking our show. Have a great day, everybody. Have a good one.